wonderful to have missionaries from foreign lands come. We've had quite a few come and share with us last year, and it's cool. I've always enjoyed that, and it's kind of fun because when you hear their stories, you get to kind of live it vicariously. But don't forget that all of you guys are supposed to be missionaries. You know, you might not be in a foreign country, but there's a lot of people here who need to hear the gospel. So don't forget that you're supposed to be sharing that gospel here in our own country, because there's plenty of people that haven't heard it yet or haven't accepted it. A lot of people have heard it but need to be convinced. So keep on at that work. Don't forget that. But this morning we're here to talk about be still. And you heard of that verse or that whole scripture and all the stuff that was going on, and then towards the end it says be still. But to start off, let me talk about Christmas. Who had a good Christmas? How about who had, raise your hands if you had a wish list for Christmas. If you had a list of stuff you wanted, there's a couple out there. Did you get, those of you, did you get everything on your list? Yeah? If you have a short list, like this year, you know, usually I make a list of all sorts of stuff so people have ideas, and I didn't make one this year, and I was less disappointed, I think, because of it. But who got a chance to visit with family and friends? Yeah, or have family and friends come visit. Some people came from a long ways away. Who went? Did anybody go out of the state for Christmas? A couple people? Okay. We had some people that came from out of the country to visit, and that's kind of fun. Who rushed around to take care of things at the last minute before Christmas? Yeah, that's more common. Okay, how about this? Who went shopping for Christmas last week? Who went shopping on Christmas Eve? Christmas. Yeah. But it's a busy time. It's a time when people are rushing around and doing lots of things. John talked about in the mall that they're just ready to shoot somebody because they just want this time of shopping and busyness, and there's lots of things going on at Christmas. We're traveling around to see our friends and family or to prepare our homes for them to come visit us and to take care of gifts and all that kind of thing. I had a great time Christmas. We got to spend time with family. We went to Jenna's family. We went to her grandma's house on Christmas Eve and then to her uncle's house on Christmas, and we played some fun games. We went to my family on the day after Christmas. We had some relatives out of Chicago, and it was really kind of funny, speaking of getting things ready at the last minute. My parents notoriously are not ready for Christmas, and so they were still wrapping presents the day after Christmas. But we played some fun games. I learned, and if you've ever played Apples to Apples, I learned that to some people, this was you compare words, and so you have to have somebody judge a word depending on different words that the rest of the players throw in, and the word was painful, and there was atomic explosion, there was amputation, childbirth, what else was it then? Hot lava, and a bad haircut. And to some people, a bad haircut is more painful than all that other stuff. But we had a great time. There were lots of laughing, but I also know that Christmas, you know, speaking of pain, but Christmas can be a painful time because it's supposed to be celebration. It's supposed to be enjoyment. You're supposed to, I mean, we're used to the idea that Christmas is a good time. But, you know, sometimes when things hit hard, if life is rough around that time of year, or if you're missing somebody that you've always had with you on Christmases before, it almost amplifies that pain because, it's, you know, we're used to Christmas being such a good time together. And then when we have pain in our lives at Christmas time, it's almost like that takes it and reverses it and amplifies it and makes it that much more hard to bear at Christmas time. So, you know, I hope that all of you were able to enjoy Christmas, but I also know that it can be tough. And I hope that through it all, you remembered that it's not supposed to be about the presents and the music and the family. It's really, when it comes down to it, it's supposed to be about Jesus Christ. And I hope that in the midst of whatever you're doing, whether it was times of pain or if it was times of cheer, that you didn't forget the central point. This is about Jesus Christ who came to save us. So, did anybody have a good time with God at Christmas? Did anybody get a chance to share Jesus at Christmas time with friends and family? A couple, that's great, that's awesome. Thinking of how busy it is and how rushed we get. And we sing songs about peace on earth and silent night. Did anybody have a real good time of just silence and peacefulness and just connect with God over Christmas? Not a lot. It's good to have that. Well, to make up for it, we're going to try it this morning. We're going to have 2 minutes of silence. You probably did moments of silence at other places. We're going to have 2 minutes, and I'll count it for you so you don't have to watch the clock, but we'll start right now. That's 2 minutes. Who enjoyed that? And we miss that kind of time, I think, in our culture especially. Here's a better question. How many of you were counting? Who was looking forward to the end of that time? And how many of you were thinking of things that you need to get done after church? Okay, how many people actually prayed? Use that time to pray. That's awesome. Good. Did anyone hear God's voice in those 2 minutes? I think a lot of times, because we miss out on that silence, we miss God's voice. There's a psalm that I actually found when I was getting ready for a funeral not too long ago. It's Psalm chapter 90. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read the whole thing. And it was, I was thinking about that idea of silence and solitude for today. Psalm chapter 90, speaking of hearing God's voice, this is the prayer of Moses, it says. It starts off, it says, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. And if you know about Moses, you know that the Bible describes the way that he communicated with God as a friend, face-to-face talking with a friend. So Moses was not unfamiliar with prayer and communicating with God. But this prayer, and I'm assuming the way that he talks, he's talking about us, so I'm assuming he's talking about him and the people of Israel as they're heading towards the promised land. And he says this, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were created, before you made the earth and the world, you are God without beginning and end. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust. For 1,000 years are as yesterday. They are like a few hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear, or like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath. We end our lives with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some maybe even reach 80. But But even the best of these years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we are gone. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us see your miracles again. Let our children see your glory at work. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. So I was reading through that, and the things that stuck out was, teach us to make the most of our time. And are we making the most of our time? I mean, you think about, you know, our Christmas season, when we're all rushing around and we're all busy, and are we making the most of that time? It's the moment of silence idea. It's kind of a weird practice, and I think it probably got started because we were afraid to ask people to pray in public places. We're afraid to say, well, let's pray right now. Because a lot of times it's for something that's sad that happened. You know, somebody passed away, or there's some sort of tragedy, or remember an event like Pearl Harbor, and we'll have a moment of silence for something like that. And most of us have experienced them at, you know, sporting events or big gatherings and things like that. And we can use that time for whatever we want. I mean, we don't have to pray. I like to pray. But lots of people who, you know, that's a big, huge public gathering, there's lots of people thinking different things. And probably a lot of them that think, you know, look, can we just get on with the game? What do we have to stand around here quiet for? We came to cheer and to shout and to be loud. And I was thinking about how much time do we ever really spend in silence? How much time do we sit in quiet reflection and create peace around us looking for God, listening to what he has to say to us? We live in a noisy culture. The United States we're surrounded by noise all the time. That's the way we live. Silence is kind of foreign to us. Solitude is not something that we like. There's a guy named Bernie Kraus that I heard about. He calls himself a bioacoustician, and one of the things he does is he records nature sounds for movies and TV. So he'll go out into the woods or by a creek or whatever just to record what nature sounds like so they could have, you know, background sounds in TV and movies. And he said, back in 1968, he's been doing this for a while, that in order to record 1 hour of pure natural sound, that means not have any cars in the background or airplanes flying over words or machinery, things like that, in order to just get 1 hour of pure natural sound, it took 15 hours of recording time. Because he'd have to, you know, break for all the noise that interrupted the nature. And he said, today, to get that same 1 hour of undisturbed natural sound takes over 2,000 hours of recording time. So we live in a noisy world, and we don't pay attention. You know, we've gotten used to it so much that we don't pay attention, but there's constantly something happening around us most of the time. There's traffic and noises, and our world is just filled with it, and we surround ourselves with it. We've got electronic gadgets that are always making noise. Everybody's got their cell phones with, you know, various ringers for different people, so there's always those things going off. We've got machines and vehicles of every sort traveling here and there, and depending on where you're at, you hear construction a lot, sirens going off. It's kind of a constant din, and it's hard in our culture to find a quiet spot these days. It's hard to find somewhere where you can just sit and have kind of natural sound. I've found a statistic that says 183 million people are regularly exposed to noise levels labeled as excessive by the EPA. If there's 300 million people in the United States, that's close to two-thirds who are subjected to noise every day that's excessive. And so it's hard to find a quiet spot as far as the natural sound, but you know what's even harder, it seems, for Americans especially? It's hard to find inner quiet. I think so many of us are busy and loud inside ourselves. We've got so many different toys. We've got the cell phones, and we've got the MP3 players. You know, we busy ourselves with things that we're thinking about that need to get done. There's some, I don't do it yet, but there's a lot of people who check their email on their telephones, or not even at home or at work. We're always constantly looking for the things that need to get done. I think these are kind of cool, but I don't have one. The SUVs, maybe you've seen in the minivans that have separate CD players and DVD players for the passengers and back. And it's almost like we're putting in gadgets to isolate ourselves with noise and with constant stuff going on. And I don't know, maybe you've seen the jackets. They even make clothing now that has built-in telephones and MP3 players so that we can constantly have something going on to distract us. Most people, I don't know, maybe some of you don't, but most people have multiple TVs now. Probably just about everybody has a TV, but a lot of people have TVs in every room. It's getting to that point. And a lot of people have a radio on all day. Is that you? Do you start your day with some sort of music playing and then go to work and they've got some sort of music playing at work, and then on the drive home you're playing music again, or sometimes it's listen to an audio book or talk radio, things like that. We constantly surround ourselves with noise. There's visual noise too. If it's not just the sound stuff, but as you're driving here and there, there's signs everywhere. There's billboards covered with everything you can think of. And now we've got, if maybe you've seen the electronic ones in Rockford, the ones that light up and change all the time. It's like there's so much noise, it's like they have to get used to the short attention span. So they're flashing new messages, and they're bigger and they're brighter. There's messages on cars that do nothing but drive around to show advertisements, and the advertisements change as they're driving around in the cars. And so we've got noise of all sorts, visual noise and audio noise and the noise inside our own heads, and how much of it are we voluntarily subject ourselves to every day just to kind of drown out everything that's going on? Is that you? Do you ever surround yourself with noise on purpose? Do you turn something on so you don't have to think about something else, or to drown out some other kind of noise? A lot of times we try to do that. We try to cancel out one noise with the other. That's the idea. Have you ever seen noise-canceling headphones? That's exactly what they do. A noise comes in, a computer picks up that sound, analyzes it, and then gives you a noise that's the reverse phase that's meant to cancel it out. But really, it's just pouring more noise to try to blank out another kind of noise. And I think sometimes we do that. We'll listen to one kind of music or sound or whatever to cancel out something else. And sometimes we try to cancel out noise with other things. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs. It could be stuff that we might consider good. It could be therapy or listening to sermons or self-help books. Some people get into that. So they don't have to think about other things. Do you ever stop to think about that? Do you ever stop to think about anything? Do you ever just stop and be at peace and be still? The verse that we read today, it says, "Be still, be silent, and know that I am God." In the midst of all those other things in that scripture, it says, even when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea, be still. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. The nations are in an uproar and kingdoms crumble. God thunders and the earth melts. Be still and know that I am God. Of course, in the midst of that kind of stuff and that kind of uproar, if you don't know God, it's impossible to be still. And the mountains are crumbling and the floodwaters are surging around us. If you don't know God, it's impossible to be still. We'd be in terror and running for our lives. But when you know God, you know Him as a fortress, you know Him as a friend, like Moses did, you can be still and trust that no matter what's going on around you, God is in control. God is going to be your fortress. We can find peace in the midst of anything, can't we? At least we're supposed to be able to. So where are you with that? Do you feel like God is distant? Do you feel like God is your friend and you can talk to Him like a friend? Is He there in the midst of everything that's going on? Do you find peace and solitude where you can hear what God has to say to you? Or do you wish God's voice was louder in your head? Do you wish that He could yell over the din of stuff that you've surrounded yourself with? Is there a connection, maybe, between the noise that we surround ourselves with and our inability to hear what God has to say to us personally? Can we not hear God because we've filled our lives with so much other noise? Do you set aside time? Do you use your day, put aside time specifically just to sit and be still and hear God? I find, like for me, it's easy to pray any time during the day. I pray no matter what's going on. And it can be super loud. There can be all sorts of things going on. I don't have a problem praying and talking to God. But finding that time to just be silent, to be still, and to listen, I think it's a lot harder for people. Maybe not for you. Maybe this is not a big problem for you, but I think for a lot of people it is. I remember when I was in Niger over in Africa, it was kind of a neat experience when we would get together with people who were, you know, the locals, the indigenous people. They'd come over to your house or your hut, whatever, and sit around, and you'd have the introduction. There was always a customary introductions that you'd go through, and it was a long thing that you'd kind of repeat these lines. But once that was over, they were happy just to sit there. And it was kind of weird at first, but they would just sit there, and you didn't have to talk. They would be fine just sitting next to you. You could read a book. You could watch the sun. I mean, whatever. They were happy just sitting and being with you. And it was kind of cool to get used to that and just to realize that you don't have to put on a show for a friend. You can just hang out. Sometimes I wonder if that's what God wants from us, to just be there and hear him and listen and be more open to what he might have to say. There's a 1 Kings chapter 19. This is Elijah. If you remember, he made the sacrifice. They were testing to see which God was real, Baal or God. And they both got a chance to put their sacrifices, and God sent down fire to burn up his sacrifices. And then Elijah, you know, they killed all the other priests. And it's kind of funny because I think there was something like 450 of them. And Elijah stood up to all of them and he said, and he was laughing, he was mocking them. He said, "Where is your God? Is he sitting on the can? Come on, you know, why isn't he burning up your sacrifice? And my God did it." And he didn't seem afraid of that. But then the queen turned around and said, "I'm going to kill Elijah." And he got scared and he took off running. So this is after that happened. He ran away. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you start at verse 9, he says, "There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And Elijah replied, 'I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too.'" And God kind of set him straight on that. He said, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." And the Lord told him, and as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. So a strong enough wind that it was tearing rocks out of the mountain. And then it says the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake that shook the mountain, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Some people have translated this, "There was a sound of silence." And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I think a lot of times we look for God to come in with thunder all the time, to be this powerful voice that just speaks and drowns out everything. And I think sometimes when we're expecting that, we miss that still, small voice. We fill our lives with so much noise and so much busyness that we ignore the quiet, simple direction of God telling us what he talks to us. We'll listen. He communicates with us if we're willing to stop and to hear it. I don't know how many times I've heard people pray for God to make them do something, to, you know, "Make me stop this sin," or "Make me do the right thing." And I remember praying that kind of prayer myself, you know, a long time ago before I realized that God doesn't force our lives. God doesn't make us do anything. He isn't in the business of running our lives for us. He wants us to run our lives and to please him that way. He wants us to make our own choices about whether we listen to him or not, whether we follow God or not. And I think sometimes we don't want to hear God. I think some people get in the place where they avoid the silence because they don't want to hear what God has to say. We know what God would say to us if we stopped and listened to him. We know what God would tell us if we opened up this Bible and read it. And we avoid it because we don't want to hear it. Matthew chapter 11, at verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." You know, it's cool to read that God wants us to find rest for our souls. He wants us to have that kind of a peace, where no matter what's happening, we can be at peace when the mountains shake and the floodwaters rage. But it says we have to do something first. It says we have to take his yoke upon us. And I don't know how many of you know what a yoke is. A yoke is the thing that goes on an animal's shoulders, that the reins, the things to pull a trailer, to pull a cart, are hooked to. So the yoke is what is like the thing that, and they're usually fitted to go around the animal's neck so he can pull or carry a load. And Jesus said, "Take my yoke on you. I want you to carry my load." Jenna and I were talking about this morning, you know, because sometimes we feel burdened. And she said, "You know, I was feeling burdened the other week." And I said, "Yeah, but was it a burden that God gave you?" And we realize, you know, most of those burdens that we pick up are not ones that God wants us to pick up. The burdens that God wants us to carry, truly, when we let go of everything that we're worried about, selfishly, personally, and only pick up what God tells us to pick up, it's light. You know, when it comes down to us, the things that he asks us to do are extremely simple. And we do have to sometimes drop all the other stuff we're carrying in order to get it done. And he said that, you know, you have to sacrifice yourself, your own selfish desires, in order to do what God wants. But when we take that yoke upon us, when we do what Jesus wants us to do, when we forget the rest, when we, the Bible says, seek ye first, doesn't it? Seek what God wants to do, and he'll take care of the other things. We don't have to worry about the other things. If we just do what God tells us to do, we don't have to worry about the rest of life. He'll take care of it. Maybe if we start listening to what God is telling us and doing it, we'd be a whole lot less burdened in life. I've never heard God's audible voice. I've never heard, you know, a voice talking. If you remember the story of Samuel, when God was talking to him when he was sleeping, and he went and he woke up Eli, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "It wasn't me." Eventually realized it was God talking to him. I've never heard a voice like that, but I've had God speak to me from the depths of my soul. I mean, I've had that direction, and I know it's God. And the way you recognize that is because it's backed up by Scripture. And I've recognized that, and it's always been a still, small, quiet voice. And when God does speak to me, it's always simple and straight up. And a lot of times he says, "You already know what to do," sort of thing, because I've read the Scripture. I don't know where you're at with God, but that's, you know, if you want to hear what God has to say to you, start by opening this book. He's already said a lot of it. And if you want to hear what God has to say, you can read it. And then when God does start talking to you, you'll know how to recognize it, because you'll have heard it before. And the funny thing is that just knowing what God wants you to know through this will answer a lot of our questions. If you know this book, most of the things that you need answers to are already taken care of. And there's lots of times that I've prayed, "God, what should I do here?" And God says, "You already know what you should do. You just need to go and do it." So he says, "Take my yoke upon you. Do what I've already told you to do." We've got most of his instructions. And when we do that, we'll find the peace and the quiet that we're looking for. We'll find that it's always simple direction. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put down the things that you've been carrying around, the stresses that you're bothering yourself with, like that Christmas wish list that I made, that I used to make. You know, last year I made a list because I thought it'd be easier for people, you know, to, if they were shopping for me, it'd be easier for them to know if this is what I'd like. Put down your wish list for anybody. Put down your wish list for the world and for God. Just set it down and say, God, what do you want? When you follow God, when you put your confidence in Him, you'll find rest for your soul. That's what Jesus said. It was a promise. And I remember from our scripture from today, I remember the first time I saw God as my fortress. And it was so nice to just, I felt like I could just lean back into God and relax. I didn't have to try to protect myself anymore. I didn't have to try and put on a show. I didn't have to be anything that I wasn't. I could just lean back into God and trust that He would take care of me. I could do what I was supposed to do, put my heart out where it needed to go, where it was vulnerable, but I could trust that God would take care of me. If I got hurt, God could heal me. And that's such a great feeling to have God as my fortress, my protector, and my strength, so that I can be at peace, so that I don't have to worry. So when was the last time you did that? When was the last time you spent time in silence knowing that God was there and found rest for your soul? Luke 5:16 really quick says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He got away from everybody else just so it could be Him and God. It was a regular practice that He did. So are you ever alone like that? Do you ever withdraw yourself for solitude? Are you always surrounding yourself with people and noise? Are you always on the move? Are you the kind of person that always needs to be doing something, getting something done off the list? You're always trying to keep up with the clock or working really hard to keep up with the Joneses, or maybe you've made your own to-do list and it never stops. You're always adding more things and you never get enough done. And you're always trying to keep up with your own list. Does your schedule, does your life look like somebody who wants to hear God's voice? When was the last time you were truly still to listen? When was the last time that you found silence, found a quiet place, and purposely put yourself in solitude so that you could connect with God? What could you change? Because we could all probably change. What could you change in your daily schedule that might open up more opportunities for things like that? What things should you completely, you know that you should stop doing? What things do you know that you should stop doing because it interferes with your ability to communicate with God? It cuts off your, what are you doing that's driving a wedge between you and God that you know you should stop, that you haven't? Do you really believe that all the noise around you that we've surrounded ourselves with, do you really think that all of that, that any of that, is better than hearing the voice of your Creator? Could there be anything better than hearing the personal word that God has to talk to you, to show you how much He loves you, to give you the direction that you're looking for, to help you to feel your purpose that God has put you here to fulfill? Let me read a few quick verses for you. Psalm 4:4 says, don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Psalm 37:7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Deuteronomy 27:9-10, this is right before the Israelites crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land, says, then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, be silent and listen, Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God, so obey the Lord your God by keeping all these commands and the laws I am giving you today. And Habakkuk 2:20 says, but the Lord in His holy temple, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. You hear a theme in that? It's peace. Don't let your emotions control you, that first one said. Have peace. Trust in God. Have peace. Don't stress out. Have peace. Even in our celebrations, we're coming up on the New Year's, and a lot of people drowned out life with various things. But even in our celebration, we're supposed to have peace and be still and know God. and hear God. Mark chapter 4, 39 and 40. If you remember the time when the disciples were in the boat and there was this big storm at sea and Jesus was asleep up in the on the front of the boat. And the waves are crashing and over the edges and they're afraid they're all going to die and Jesus is sleeping. And they wake him up and they say, Jesus, we're all going to die. You got to wake up. And when he woke up, 39 and 40 says, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, peace, be still. Quiet down. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me? You know, he said, peace, be still to the storm. But I think those instructions could have been just as much instructions to the disciples. Peace, be still, trust in me. I was sleeping. If you really think I am who I am, do you think I'm going to let a storm kill me? At the very least, they could have learned a lesson from the storm. If the very wind and the waves obey Jesus, shouldn't they? Shouldn't we? We can take a lesson from that storm. Can you be still and know God? If you remember the prayer that we read earlier in Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, it sounds to me like it came at a time in their lives when they had allowed the noise to drown out God. And there were several times in that journey when they had kind of pushed God aside for the rest of life. And Moses was sharing what was on his heart and praying, crying out for the people. And he said, please come back, God. We need you. Life is no good without you. We want you in our lives. God already knows what's in your heart and mind today. God already knows what you're struggling with, the stresses that you have, the list that you need to complete, the work that you need to get done. God knows all of it, the sins that you might be struggling with and afraid to share or to repent from. God knows everything. You can't hide anything from him. So you can either choose today to lay it all out before him and say, God, I need your help. I want you to come back into my life. I want you to come into my life for the first time. I want you to help me to change my life. You can either just give it all to him, be plain and simple and straightforward with God, and say, I want you. Or you can keep yourself to yourself. You can just hold it in you're allowed to do that. You can make the choice to keep your life to yourself, kind of exclude God from it, and ignore what he has to say to you. You can either choose to take on that yoke and follow God or not. If you're willing to try to stop the kind of usual noisy life that kind of excludes God, if you're willing to stop and listen for that still, silent voice, I'd like for you to, that's your homework. I'd like for you to, when you go home, you know, start today. And maybe you start with 2 minutes like we did today. Hopefully you can work your time up. But start making a time every single day to be still and know God, to listen for what God wants to say to you. Cancel out all the other noise with some silence and some solitude. Spend some time listening for what God wants to tell you. Because he does want to talk to you. He does want to have an ongoing, constant relationship with you. I still remember before I met Jenna when things just got wonderful with God. It was it's weird to say, but my best way to describe it is it was like a romance with God. It was like, you know, no friend I've ever had. He knew everything so I could share everything. And he wanted that relationship with me, and it was wonderful. And I remember there was a time that I kind of forgot that. And I let some of the noise in and kind of didn't keep up with my relationship. And then I came to that scripture in Revelation, the letters to the churches, where the one says, you've forgotten your first love. And I remember that. I said, yeah, I want that first love back. So I got back into the habit of having a real relationship with God. And there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than hearing when God talks to you. So that's your encouragement for today. Find some peace, some solitude, some quiet. Get back to God. Ask him for what you've been missing. Ask him for that strength for him to be your fortress. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you do want a powerful relationship with us, that you do want to protect us and be our fortress, and that you do speak to us and talk to us. Lord, help us to find that quiet time. Help us to make time for you and to get rid of the noise that cancels you out. There's nothing wrong with having a little entertainment now and then, but God, don't let it drown you out. Help our lives to be the kind of lives that we can hear you, that we practice seeking you, being silent, going away and praying, and knowing that you are God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.